How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
It is time to give Saquon Barkley the MVP award. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to a Victory Monday episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I'm your host, as always, Victor Williams. Be sure to follow me on all social media platforms over at the Philly Pod. The Eagles are now 9-2 after last night's victory over the Los Angeles Rams by a score of 37-20, and that's generous. The score should have never been that close, but the refs helped out the Rams. A late garbage time drive helped them out in the score department a little bit, but the Eagles are now two games ahead of the Washington Commanders in the NFC East. The Commies are now on fraud watch. They've dropped three straight. They're losing to Cooper Rush. They're out of the mix. The Eagles are now in firm command of the division, thanks to a historic performance by one Saquon Barkley. If you are new to the show, thank you guys for checking it out. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Be sure to leave those reviews and rate 5 stars. They all do help with the exposure of the podcast. So thank you guys for taking care of that for me, as you always do. Can't say enough great things about the listeners and the people I run into and the people that know me from social media and things like that. I caught some over the weekend, and they were very excited for whatever reason to meet me. I'm just a person, but shout out to you guys. It makes doing the show more fun and doing content more fun. So thank you guys, as always, for the support. We got Saquon Barkley to get into. We have another standout defensive performance from Vic Fangio and the Eagles to get into, and Jalen Hurts. Is Jalen Hurts a game manager? Is he? I don't mean that as a slight or an insult, but he might be morphing into a game manager, which is perfectly fine with me. We'll talk about all that stuff. But first, some somber news as it pertains to one Brandon Graham, because this man was, I don't want to say a resurgence, but this man at 36 years old was having a hell of a year. 3.5 sacks over the first 10 games, but now the Eagles will be without the veteran pass rusher for the remainder of the 2024 season. As Graham told reporters after the game that he had torn his triceps and he will miss the remainder of the season. He had been dealing with tendonitis throughout the year, so we knew that something was bothering him, but he got bumped on a rush yesterday and he confirmed that he is done for the year. He came back this season. He signed a one-year deal last offseason to go on what he called his retirement tour. He was going to give one last push for another potential Super Bowl run, maybe win his second title and help Jalen Hurts and company do it. And now with this injury, he will not be available for the remainder of the year. And he said that I don't want to go out like this. He seems like a player that would want to end things on his own terms. No player really wants to end things on an injury. And even as the season went on, we all knew that he was talking about this retirement tour and all this stuff. But as we watched him, we were like, man, he got some juice. He might have another year in him. And even Graham himself had said at some points, like, I'll think about it. I don't know. It might not be done when I say I'm done. So certainly now with this injury and things in the mix, we'll have to see how rehab goes. And he'll reassess with his family and all that stuff. And he'll see if he can come back for another season. But I don't have enough things to say about Brandon Graham and the person that he is. I've been lucky enough to speak with him on a few occasions, and he's so vibrant, such a bright personality. He's the type of person that when you speak with him, it makes you want to be a better person. Like, he's just never not a mean bone in that man's body. I've never seen that man even angry, and he's the trash talking and all the stuff he provides for the team will be missed. He'll still be there on the sidelines, obviously leading the team in different ways, but he'll be missed on the football field for sure. He was the Eagles' best pass rusher over the first half of the season, certainly before the bye week he was, and as the other guys have started to kind of turn on around him, he was an integral part of that defensive front rotation off the edge. But now the Eagles are going to have to figure out how they're going to fill that void. Now they're without Bryce Huff. Now there's no Brandon Graham. We'll talk later in the week about potential outside options as well as in-house options that the Eagles could look into to fill the void left by Graham. But prayers up for him and his family, and we hope that everything's good over the summer, and maybe he could come back for a true retirement tour, stay healthy, and end this thing on his own terms, because he deserves to do so. He's provided this organization with so much, and he's been a staple with this organization. He's now third, I believe, now with on the all-time sack list after sacking Stafford yesterday. He is 76.5 sacks. He's only behind Reggie White, who has 124, and Trent Cole, who has 85.5. So at least he got to make history before he got hurt. So good on Brandon Graham for doing that. Prayers up to him. I hope everything goes well. So now for the fun part, Saquon Barkley setting a new single game rushing record with 255 yards. He broke LeSean McCoy's record of 217 set back in 2013 in the Snow Bowl. He had 302 total yards from scrimmage. He had 500 total yards over the last 2 weeks. That's more than the Jets had. That's more than the Jaguars had as a team over the last 2 weeks. And this guy is just a one-man show at this point, which I am perfectly fine with. Saquon is the first player to have 500 scrimmage yards over a two-game span since Walter Payton in 1977. That's hell of a company to be paired up with when considering the production that Saquon Barkley is providing. And I remember watching him last night, and I was thinking, like, I don't remember the last time this man has gotten less than 5 yards in a carry. Every single carry he gets goes for 7-8 yards, even when the box is stacked. The Rams tried to stop him last night. They had 8 men in the box on 35% of the snaps last night, and Barkley averaged 12.7 yards per carry in those instances. There's no way to even stop this man. I've spoken numerous times on the show about how he gets better as the game goes on. And I saw some stat today. I think it was like Saquon's 9th in rushing in the first half, and he leads the league in rushing in the second half, or something like that. I don't know if that's accurate or not. I'll have to fact check it. But it wouldn't shock me, because that man is just flips a gear at halftime, and he's like, I'm winning this game. I'm going to carry this team, and even if we have a lead, I'm going to make sure we don't lose it, and I'm going to run this clock out with my tough running. He's only the 6th player in NFL history with multiple touchdown runs of at least 70 yards in the same game. He's the first player to ever do it in the second half, back to my point about him getting better as the game goes on. He now has 1,392 rushing yards this season. That is more than 21 NFL teams, not players, 21 NFL teams. Crazy, crazy to see. Saquon is on pace for 2,151 rushing yards and 18 touchdowns. The single season rushing record is 2,105 by Eric Dickerson with the Rams back in 1984. Barkley needs 713 rushing yards in the last 6 games to eclipse that. He is 608 away from a 2,000-yard season. It's within reach. It's within reach. And we had a discussion on the show last week about Saquon potentially being in the MVP conversation. And that was like just a hypothetical. Now he's legit in the MVP conversation. He's third in the race now, according to the odds and according to the sports books. It's Josh Allen, Lamar, and then Saquon's right behind him. Last week, I said throw money on him plus 5,000 if you want to. I didn't even take my own advice, and I didn't do it. And now I'm regretting it, because I'd be staring at a pretty good cash out if I threw 20 bucks on that. At plus 5,000? My goodness. My goodness. And now he's all the way down to plus 650. I still don't know if they truthfully hand it to him. But man, that now that he's like in the conversation, that's the first thing you see when you turn on TVs today is Saquon Barkley MVP. Crazy. crazy. AJ Brown coming from the Titans and Saquon coming from the Giants. The Eagles are just reaping from the poor decisions of other organizations. If I'm John Mara, I'm firing the entire front office. I can't do it. There's no way he's watching these games. There's no way. He probably purposely lays down and sleeps through these games because he can't stomach it. I'd fire everybody. I would do it. I'm anybody who was even here a part of this decision, get out. Get out. I'm not dealing with you. You guys have ruined this franchise. And it is crazy. Saquon Barkley's cap hit this year is like $3.9 million, and his cap hit next year is $5.6 million. Mind you, Drew Lock's cap hit for the Giants, who the Giants aren't even starting, by the way, his cap hit is $5 million this year alone. This is just malpractice from an organizational standpoint. If I'm John Mara, I don't even know how you can wrap your mind around bringing back that guy who smirked in your face, Joe Schoen, Sheen, however you say his name, the general manager of the Giants, who smirked in his face when they told him that the Eagles are in Saquon and looked at him. John Mara said, "I would lose sleep. I would not be able to sleep if Saquon goes to Philadelphia." Joe Schoen smirked in his face, and I would fire him just for that alone. I would rewatch that clip over and over again if I was John Mara, and I would just fire him over that alone. You laughed in my face when you said that he was potentially going to Philadelphia. And we have to pay Daniel's making all this money. We got to protect Daniel, and now Daniel's not even with the team. Just a shit show organization, and the Eagles happily benefit from that. A.J. Brown and Saquon, both with career years immediately after getting left by their organizations. Didn't want to pay either of those players. They'll happily come here and have career years. I can't believe the things I'm seeing Saquon Barkley do on a weekly basis. Had 300 yards by himself yesterday. Speaking of A.J. Brown, he got his, as predicted, 6 catches, 109 yards, and a touchdown. The Rams, they put a myriad of corners on him. They couldn't figure it out. Darius Williams, 5'9", can't guard him. Didn't matter who you put on A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown made them pay. I told you on the preview pod, this is a 100-yard game for A.J. He did just that off of 6 catches and a touchdown that the refs tried to take away. A.J. had like 3 feet in bounds with possession. They knocked it out at the last second, and the refs were like, "Oh, no, it might be incomplete." Nah, that's a touchdown. Don't do that to A.J. Brown. A.J. is averaging a career-high 90.9 yards per game, and the Eagles are 8-0. When A.J. Brown has been available this year. So the formula for success is lean on Saquon Barkley, throw to A.J. when you need it, and just let Hurts play clean football. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that theory in a second here. A.J. Brown was asked his mindset. Like, what is your mindset now that the team is essentially a run-first offense? Like, how does that work for a receiver that wants the ball like yourself? A.J. Brown said, "Yeah, I have to make the most of your opportunities. It can be tough sometimes, but if I only get 3 catches, then all three of them have to be touchdowns. They got to be 3 touchdowns." Chris Collinsworth said it best last night, and I hate giving credit to Chris Collinsworth for anything, but he said there are guys that you can't cover and there are guys that you can't tackle. It just so happens that A.J. Brown is both. And when he said that, I was like, "Oh, that's a bar," because that is certainly true. I never thought I would watch anybody in the Eagles jersey better than A.J. Brown, and now we get to watch Saquon two years later. I can't believe the state of the Eagles offense at this time. And it's also in part to Jalen Hurts, who has seemingly accepted his role that I don't have to be Superman. He's so used to having to make these crazy plays and do what have you to win games, and now he doesn't have to do that. And Jalen Hurts is perfectly content with throwing the ball for 200 yards, throwing 1 touchdown, and handing the ball to a guy who just so happens to be the best running back in football. That's all Hurts has to do now. You don't just don't turn the ball over. Throw a couple dimes a game, 1 or 2 to A.J. Smitty when he's healthy, and just hand the ball to Saquon. That is all you have to do, and Hurts is more than content with doing so. While national pundits every day want to question if Jalen Hurts can carry an offense, can Jalen Hurts win a Super Bowl, can Jalen Hurts read a defense, and all of these things that they say, Jalen Hurts doesn't care, because Jalen Hurts doesn't have to do half the things that the national media wants him to do. Hurts finished the game yesterday 15 of 22, 179 yards, and a touchdown, and also rushed for 39 yards. That's a clean game. That is all you have to do. And people will watch the box score and they'll refuse to pull their heads out and just look at the numbers and be like, oh, he's only thrown for 170 yards. Oh, my God, he's not a real quarterback. This, this, and that. It doesn't matter. Because Saquon is rushing for 220 yards. Jalen Hurts will happily sit there and watch that and not have to have to worry about anything. The end goal is a championship. I don't care if we run our way to the Lombardi. I don't care if we run there. The Eagles are officially a run-first team, and the players have accepted it. And Jalen Hurts settling into the game manager role is one of the best developments of this season, because to start the year, he was taking unnecessary risks and throwing the ball deep when he didn't have to and trying to do all this stuff. And now he's just doing what's being asked. Take care of the football. Take care of the football. Make plays when you have to. Other than that, Saquon is here. And that is it. And that is perfectly fine from the perspective of Jalen Hurts. When Hurts doesn't have to do everything, he can do anything, is the way that I see it. And I think that's a good line to go by when analyzing the 2024 tape of Jalen Hurts.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday. Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Defensively for the Philadelphia Eagles, it was a bit of a rough start. They allowed 117 yards in that first quarter, and I was starting to think like, oh man, this is going to be one of those games where you're just going to have to outscore them. It's not going to be a lot of defense played in this one. And it was getting to the point where I was like, I don't know, Sirianni. We always cry about taking the points, but trading field goals for touchdowns when they were getting 3 points on those first couple of drives, I was like, I think you might need to start going for it on these fourth downs if we're not going to be able to stop the Rams. But then the Rams only had 110 total yards after that. Prior to that garbage time final drive, I'm not counting that. They only had 110 yards after that first quarter. Vic Fangio's defense clamped. They put the hammer down and said, all right, we saw the first quarter. We saw how you guys operate, and we're not going to let any of that happen. The corners had their hands full with, obviously, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, and they had theirs. The final stats looked like they did damage. Puka had over 100 yards. Cooper Kupp had the garbage time touchdown. But they kept them at bay for the most part. Even when Slay came out of the game, he was ruled out with a concussion in the third quarter. And let me just say real quick about Slay. And this isn't like directed towards anybody per se, but there's a lot of people that aren't fans of Slay, and I understand why, because sometimes his off the field theatrics can rub people the wrong way. Some people don't like his giddy attitude. They want to bring real hate back to football and all that, and I understand that. But oftentimes this season, Slay has come out of the game, and that offense has done damage from the minute he's come out of the game. For the first few possessions, Stafford was going at Isaiah Rodgers, and they were getting big chunks down the field. And I was thinking, like, hey, Slay comes out the game, and now it's not so fun anymore. And like I mentioned on prior pods, Slay's body's just starting to break down, and as good as he is, it's tough for him to play week in and week out anymore. So we're glad that we have a luxury like Isaiah Rodgers, who after a rough first couple plays, he was able to lock in. Even on that terrible, the ref show was terrible all around between the ticky tacky pass interference calls. They had one on Slay early in the game. They had one on Rodgers when he was tracking down Puka Nacua and didn't even grab him, touch him, anything, and got called for that. And they tried to say that the Kyren Williams fumble wasn't a fumble. They tried to take that away. They tried to take away the AJ touchdown when he had 3 feet and possession in bounds. The refs were very, very. This is a weirdly officiated game from the Eagles' perspective. And I guess they did throw us a bone when they let Nick Sirianni decline the penalty once the offense ran out for the Rams on that they had like stopped. It was third and 13. Yeah, it was third and three late in the game. Zach Bond broke up a pass to make it fourth and three, but there was an offensive penalty. Sirianni initially declined it because they thought the Rams were going to kick the field goal. The Rams brought the offense back out. Sirianni tells the ref, hey, they actually want to take it since they're going for it. And then it backed them up to third and 13 instead. And I don't know if that's allowed, but I will take it because we got screwed all game by the refs. But to see Sirianni like watch the offense like run out into the field and then be like, oh no, wait, I want to take the penalty, and the refs actually acknowledge it was kind of crazy to see. But I'll take it. Johnny Wilson had his head taken off on a pass, and Collinsworth was like, I don't know, that was close. Like he cleared him. He damn near got tackled before the ball even got there. Collinsworth was like, oh, I don't know about that call. Oh no. So all of that was very strange. But the Eagles defense did their job in this game. The Rams were 0-8 on third down. And now opposing teams are just 9-44 on third down against the Eagles over the last 4 weeks. When it gets to third down, the Eagles lock in and don't let a lot of teams convert. That is amazing to see as far as the third downs go. They added 5 more sacks yesterday. They are now ranked 8th in the NFL with 35 sacks on the year. That's great to see after they only had 6 before the bye week. Josh Sweat got one. N'Kobe Dean got one. Brandon Graham got one. They're all getting into the mix. Fantastic effort by the Philadelphia Eagles defense to keep the Rams at bay after they moved the ball at will over that first quarter. Puka and Cooper Kupp are tough matchups. Cooper DeJean was very good over the slot on Cooper Kupp for a lot of that game. Cooper didn't really get going until the second half, and by that time the game was out of hand. For a while there, Kupp only had 2 catches, and Cooper DeJean was doing his job. Once PFF releases the final grades and the coverage matchups and all that, I'll see what Quinyon did. We didn't hear his name a lot, as do we ever. So we'll see what's going on there. We'll look at the Jared Verse numbers. He laid out Mailata after a running start on offsides that should have been called, so that's another thing. But I'll take a look at all those numbers and give you guys a more analytical breakdown of everything from this game tomorrow. Thank you guys for checking this out. Be sure to subscribe on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, anywhere else you get your shows. Leave those reviews, rate 5 stars. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, Eagles now 9-2, only 1 game back from the 1 seed. We are going to be Bears fans this weekend against the Lions. The Eagles did their job and beat the Rams. They remain in the race for the number 1 seed. Let's hope the Bears or the Packers the week after, somebody can help us out and take down the Lions. And we'll talk about that later in the week as well. But until then, y'all, catch you on the next one. Peace out from the Philly Pod.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.